So I have a weird question for you guys.
Okay.
Have you been having any nightmares lately?
Yeah, it's really funny that you bring that up, because just the other night I had this crazy nightmare that I was like trapped in this prison about to get eaten by a dragon.
Whoa. Weird.
What about you guys?
Like, I was trapped too, but it was like there's TNT right next to me and you could like see the fuse and I was just waiting for it to come and...
Yeah, I was also trapped in my kitchen and there was a fire
weird.
Happening. Guys, I think we've been playing too much Royal Match.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah, that's probably true. These are the king's nightmares, but also totally legit nightmares that anyone could have. I'm not judging.
Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Aaron.
Woo!
Today we're talking about Royal Match. Royal Match is a casual free-to-play tile matching video game launched on February 25th, 2021. In it, players follow a king in restoring his castle. It was developed and published by the Turkish company Dream Games that was founded in 2019.
Wow.
For
that's
like
nuts.
Yeah, for Android and iPhone and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like when I was looking it up, like how popular it became so quickly.
Yeah, that's fast.
Launched in 2021, which you have to figure COVID helped with that. There were still plenty of people staying home in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But I mean, still, like, it's one of the number one games. Knocked out Candy Crush is, like, the number one game on, like, the iPhone store and all that stuff. So,
well, before we get too far into the history or anything yet, Aaron, why did you pick this game?
Sure. So, I have played tile matching games and stuff, you know, just kind of randomly as a kid. But then last year,
like, since Bejeweled. Or something even before then.
Before that, but some of it I'll go into when we talk about the history a little bit. But yeah, there were like flash games on, you know, early days on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, so there was one called Newton's Nightmare. It was apples that you were matching.
Oh, nice.
So there was like a red apple and then a rotten apple and a green apple and an apple that had bites taken out of it. It was all kinds of great stuff. But I downloaded this and a couple other Match 3 games on my phone last year when my mom was in the hospital. And she'd been in the hospital several times over the last few years, but March of last year, we knew that we were getting close to the end.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we were waiting for my brother to come into town, and it was just very much a hurry up and wait situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we were at the hospital just day in and day out, and what are you going to do at the hospital?
Nothing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just sit there, especially she was in ICU, mm-hmm. and so it wasn't even like we could carry on loud conversations or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just sat while we were waiting for my brother to get there before he took her off life support. I just was like, I need something to do because I can't read right now. My mm-hmm. brain is not in a place where I can do that. You know, I just need something that at least is like challenging me a little bit.
Yeah.
But like I can focus on it, but I could stop it if I need to and, mm-hmm. and pay attention to what the doctors are saying. I can set it down, walk away from it. And so I downloaded Royal Match and Homescapes and one of the Candy Crush games. And I don't really play the Candy Crush one at mm-hmm. this point, but the other two, I play way more than I should.
It's become an addiction
it
now.
It has become an addiction. It's scary. It's frightening.
Yeah. These games are really good to have in those times when you just need something to take your mind off stuff, but you can't really go anywhere. And, you know, we pretty much always have our phone with us 24/7. And it's kind of hard to find, like, a good mobile game. I mean, even if it's not that good, mm-hmm. it's hard to even find one that you want to play for more than, like, 10 minutes,
yeah,
you know?
Right. That's very true. There's a lot of junk just as free games in the store.
Well, yeah. And I think I have maybe downloaded a couple of those too. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a Bubble Pop game, which is kind of in that same tile matching category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just wasn't it. And then even after my mom died and going through the grief process, like I couldn't do a lot. You know what I mean? Like I pretty much gave my energy for work. And then that was like the energy that I had. So I would get home and just kind of swipe phone, and you know I didn't have to look at people on, you know, social media being like, this is my great thing that's happening, and I could just kind of chill out and play.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the best things about video games in general. It's just a good way to decompress, zone mm-hmm. out, and just chill for a little bit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Well, did you find a lot of history about everything?
I did find some history, which kind of on the Match 3 game itself. And I, honestly, it was pretty interesting to me. And now I want like a nonfiction narrative book about it.
You found your new book.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not a nonfiction writer, but I would read this.
All right. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun fact about Erin, you are a writer, and aren't you trying to write a novel?
All the time.
You've been trying to write a novel whole life, basically.
Nice.
Pretty much.
What kind of stuff do you write?
Southern fiction. It's just what, you know, write what you know.
And yeah. Sketch, too.
I've written some sketch. Mm-hmm. I've written, you will not be able to tell by my rap that you heard today, but I have written some parody. Like, I did a Gangster's Paradise parody one time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was called Crafter's Paradise. Talking about like going to Hobby Lobby and all this stuff. It was good.
Nice.
It was good. I thought it was good.
Maybe you have a new calling though now. Yeah. Nonfiction.
There you go.
It's going to be all about Match 3 games.
There you go.
Who knows? I mean, I'm sure I'm like actually really interested in the history of this.
Yeah, me too.
I know
it
goes back.
So when they started building like tile building games for computers, they looked at like Solitaire. So it's a game that you're matching and making patterns. So, you know, I'm sure you guys both played like Solitaire on your computers, Windows 95 or whatever, like
one of the
super
few games
early on
that came with a computer.
Right.
I know how to play Solitaire IRL with real cards.
Same.
I do that too. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, we played that when we were growing up in my grandparents' house, but yeah. So they took inspiration from like games like Solitaire, Mahjong, and then in 1988, a Russian programmer created a game called Shariki.
Okay.
And I very much wanted to just yell Shariki, Shariki at the top of my rap. But then I would get Hips Don't Lie stuck in my head, so I decided not to do that. But it came out in 1994 for MS-DOS. You had to try and match the three different colors. All three balls had to be the same color. And when that happened, it would explode. The balls would like rain down from the top.
Okay.
And it would start over. And there was no like goal to it. There was no time limit. It was just you played as long as you could play until it filled up with no matches.
That sounds an awful lot like Tetris.
You got where I'm going. You picked up what I'm laying down.
It's like
there.
Russian puzzle game.
Correct.
Back in the day.
Correct. And that was like, you couldn't do research into, like, the Match 3 games without it going to, like, tile matching games like Tetris, because they're all kind of in that same formula where you're trying to get, I mean, in that case, you're trying to get a line all the way across with shapes, but it's the same kind of concept.
Yeah.
So when Tetris came out, it was, like, they packaged it with the Game Boy in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you got people really interested, and so everybody knew Tetris all of a sudden. So it was very much in people's minds to like make these matches, make these patterns.
Yeah, I got the original Game Boy with Tetris.
I did too. Well, my brother did.
And I love Tetris because it was, I actually could figure it out because I had that in a Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And so Zelda was just like way over my head. But Tetris, I mean, it was just so fun. I love puzzle games like that.
Right. And we did not have video games when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. We did have some computer games. We had Myst. I don't know if you guys ever played Myst.
Oh, we did an episode on
Myst. Oh, did you? I didn't see it when I was looking back. But
we got a wrap. We had a guest on for that one. You should go check it out.
I definitely am. I missed it when I was looking.
It's okay. We have 70. This is our 78th episode.
We have a few.
Yeah. And the thing is that I try and listen to my cam, but since I don't play video games, sometimes I'm like, dude, do you?
Yeah, it's fine.
But yes, we tried to play Myst and we were very bad at it because we managed to like open up like the first clue and then we didn't know what we were looking for.
I mean, to your credit, Myst is kind of hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You start off in an island with a whole bunch of puzzles that you actually aren't able to solve until later in the game.
Oh, great.
Cool. Yeah, so you're not dumb. It's just hard.
Cool. Yeah, but like we weren't allowed to have video games, quote unquote. And then my brother, of course, because that's how it goes. The boy gets the thing that you're not allowed to have. So he got a Game Boy.
You weren't allowed to have video games?
We weren't allowed to have video games.
Well, isn't your brother the youngest, too?
He's the middle child.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was going to say.
No, he got that and he got Tetris. So, yeah, I got really good at it, too, because it was just like, yeah, I can move these shapes. My brain like can put together where they need to be. That's cool. Mm-hmm. There were several games like that. Like Dr. Mario is a game.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That,
yeah, I love Dr. Mario.
Yeah, super fun. I could only play it at the neighbor's house. But yeah, so those similar puzzly type games were coming out. And then what really increased the popularity of these type games was Bejeweled coming out.
Yeah.
In 2001.
Dude, Bejeweled was everywhere. Like, even legit, like, my old boyfriend from high school, his grandma would be playing Bejeweled on their TV because was like on the it was on like the cable package where they had like a few games, and Bejeweled was one of those. Dude, so many people, I'm pretty sure, got addicted to that game.
Oh. For sure. I remember it was well into the 2000s, like the late 2000s, like 2008, 2009, and I was flying somewhere, and it was on like the back of the flight TV. So I was sitting there playing it on my way to Denver.
You know what? It might still be there because I feel like I played it recently on the plane too.
Yeah, that weird bird game.
Oh, Angry Birds?
Oh. There's a weird one on like the airplane. It's like
very similar Match 3, but it's like the types of birds and they're.
It's like a competitive game. We know we were playing against each other.
Anyways, enough about airplane games.
That'll be a different show.
That's a bonus episode if anyone's interested.
Weird bird puzzle games. Yeah, we can have an episode just on that.
Or airplane games.
Airplane games.
But again, this was similar to Shrieky in that you just kind of kept going with the game. Like there was no like stopping point unless you just ran out of matches. And then when Bejeweled 2 came out in 2004, that's when they started putting in multiple game modes. Mm. And so they had types where it would be timed or it would be levels, like where you would have only so many moves to get through a level.
Mm-hmm.
And there were levels. That's also when they kind of introduced being able to do other than just match threes.
Oh, like match five. Yeah.
So my understanding was you could match more, but they still had to be in a straight line previous to. But once Bejeweled 2 came out, you could make like T-shapes and L-shapes and all kinds of other geometric patterns, I guess, in order to make more points. And you would score points, you might get like a power-up, so you would have more opportunity to clear things off the board for you.
So it was Bejeweled 2 that really kind of like kicked off the starting to fill the board with like power-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, versus like just matching.
Yeah.
And then when Candy Crush Saga
came out
in 2012, that was, speaking of things being everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was insane. And I didn't play that one at the time, but people were always like, I need levels. But part of the reason that it was everywhere was they made it for Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Facebook gaming was a big thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And so.
What was the other Facebook game? It was Farmville.
Yeah,
Farmville. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So many requests for it. I didn't even play that game, but so many people were asking me about it on Facebook back in the day. Yeah, so that was on Facebook, and I remember I had that on my phone. Mm-hmm. I played Candy Crush. I was one of the people.
Yeah, I played it too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was extremely popular. It came out on Facebook, and then they put it on iOS and Android. And that game, you can blame them for any money you might have spent the last couple of weeks on Candy Crush, because that was the first game that had microtransactions within the game.
Oh,
so
I remember that. That was like the game that kind of, well, I don't know if they started all of that, but they definitely are famous for like popularizing the free-to-play kind of like, microtransactions,
the
all that
freemium
stuff.
Games.
Yeah, freemium, the limited lives that like force you to like either buy more to continue or wait.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the main things I hated about Candy Crush, is that I was always just running out of lives, and then it's like, you have to wait 1 hour. And I'm like, I don't want to wait 1 hour. I'll never come back. I'm like, you want to lose me for 1 hour? You'll lose me for life.
I'm not addicted. I can stop anytime I want unless you tell me I have to.
Exactly.
So more types of games kind of started incorporating like the match three games into their games. So there would be like puzzle games, Puzzle Quest. There were like Pokemon games, and Harry Puzzle Potter Quest. Games. And so to get further in the levels on there, you would have to beat the match three games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for us, for Royal Match, it released in 2021. And like we were saying earlier, like it took off. Part of it was the advertising. They were advertising the character guy getting trapped in places and you having to save him.
Oh, man, I hated those advertisements so much.
I've seen those ads everywhere, and I honestly did not pay attention to what game it was until we started playing this, and I'm like, oh, it clicked. I'm like, I've seen these ads before.
I know this.
I've seen that king being trapped. Yeah.
And this is pretty crazy, but this game actually came pre-installed on my phone when I bought it.
Oh. What?
And I remember there was this and some other games, and the first thing I did was immediately like uninstall it.
it's like, you're not going to tell me.
Yeah, you're not going to tell me what I'm going to play.
I would have been kind of pissed at that too. Like, don't be adding stuff that I didn't ask for. Yeah.
It's like when the YouTube album got put on all our iPhones that year.
And I went and deleted that shit. I didn't want that, but no, thank you.
Thanks, Bono, but I'm good.
Yeah.
If I want your music, I'll buy it, but right now I'm good. Thanks.
So that means they're doing some really good, like, partnerships and stuff like that, though, for it to already come pre-downloaded on your Google phone. Like,
yeah,
that's
no, I don't have the Google phone. Samsung.
Oh, Samsung. My bad. You used to have the Google phone.
That was, like, 2 or 3 phones ago.
Oh, dang.
You Android user.
It all merges together, whatever.
Yeah. All Androids are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that this one has taken off more than others because while it is a freemium game, there's not any ads that you have to watch or anything like that. At least that I've encountered.
Yeah, I think earlier on in the game there were, but I think they removed them.
Yeah, early in its development or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think there were some, but yeah, they offer you plenty of chances to buy things.
Oh, yeah, from their store.
Like, you can, every 3 weeks or whatever, you can buy a pass for this season, and it will give you 8 lives instead of 5, and you get extra coins and all this stuff. And I'm like, for $10 every 3 weeks? Absolutely not, but okay, thank you for playing.
Good try. Also, what I read on Reddit is this game advertised a lot on, like, naughty websites and stuff. I don't know if that helped it or not, but maybe there's like the fear of being trapped element there with or something. Like, I don't know. I just saw some people say it on Reddit. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, everything on Reddit is true. Come on now, Nikki.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
But I thought it was kind of funny either way because they were like, why am I getting bombarded with this on like whatever? And I was like, why are you saying this on Reddit?
Well, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Hey, you do you. Your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.
I
just remember seeing the ads for this everywhere.
What other reasons do you think that it would pass like Candy Crush though? Because like, man, that was such a huge cultural moment. Like, you would see it talked about on TV shows, on movies. Like, I would hear about it on radio stations. People would call and be like, I'm addicted to Candy Crush. Help, you know, stuff like that. So I feel like for you to be able to surpass that in such a short amount of time, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Like, maybe people were just looking for something new, or like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of why people like it more.
I mean, I think that's part of it. Candy Crush came out in 2012, and there have been different types of Candy Crush games.
Oh, there's
that came
so
out
many
then.
Variations.
But
yeah.
To be honest, I didn't like Candy Crush as much as I liked this one because it didn't feel like it was as challenging, which might sound weird, but like, I felt like I would. Not every single level, but I felt like I would make a match and it would be like, woohoo, you made 17 matches from there. Like, your one match would cascade down into like a whole bunch of other
ones. You're saying
ones.
You didn't think Candy Crush was as challenging as Royal Match.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I felt like, and then my phone would be like, figure out where the silent button is. Crap. I'm millennial. I don't want to hear this. So for me, that was what it was, but probably just some, oh, hey, a new one.
Yeah, that's true. Something different.
I feel like they're very similar. The power-ups are a little bit better on Royal Match. Mm-hmm. That was my only thing that I could tell the difference, but it's been a while since I played Candy Crush.
Yeah. I played Candy Crush kind of recently, but it's still been a while. I usually only do it when I'm at the airport because that's when I'm bored and sitting around and I don't know.
And don't have other things. You have your phone.
Yeah. It's like I could read a book, but if it's only like an hour and then like you have to pay attention to stuff, you know, it's like I'll just read later, you know.
I can read on the plane. It'll be fine. Exactly. And you get on there and you're playing Bejeweled. I'm like, damn it. I But I do know that, and I don't know how many levels Candy Crush has. I did not, if I saw that, I did not write that down. But there are, as of like 3 years after Royal Match launched, there's over 8,000 levels.
Whoa.
Right. So.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So, you know, that's another thing is like, you don't feel like you're going to run out anytime soon. Like, you can just keep playing and playing and playing.
So, what?
I think Candy Crush is in like the 30,000.
Probably at this point. Probably with 12 years of history. But yeah.
So I'm like at level 300, so I'm not even a tenth of the way through the game.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am currently at level 2,599, and it is a super hard level, and I've been stuck there for a week, probably.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so I'll pick it up, play it, put it down, go do something else, pick it up, play it. God damn it. Put it down, go do something else.
Yeah, it's like once you get stuck, sometimes the statistics are just like so bad of you actually having a chance to beat the level.
Mm-hmm. Especially without a power up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how they get people to spend money.
Correct.
Because they don't want to spend a week on a level.
Correct.
But I refuse to spend any money.
I wish I could say that. Every once in a while, I'll be like, I just want to get past this. Like, I've been on it for a week. I just want to get past it. So I'll, like, buy more coins or something. But I try to, like, keep every... If I do, I try to keep it, like, under
$5.
Yeah. I'm, like, I'm not spending any more
like,
than that.
No shame in spending money in these games as long as it's what you want to be spending.
Right, exactly.
And not the... It's not gone out of control where it's, like, a gambling addiction or something. Because, you know, we'll spend, like, $50, $60 on a video game. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's no different than you spending $50, $60 in this over time.
Right, yeah.
But hopefully it's not every week.
Right, you know exactly. What I mean? Exactly, sure. Yeah, no. I mean, for me, like, I always say, like, if I buy a lottery ticket, I always justify it to myself because I'm like, well, I've spent $10 on something that I enjoyed less than the, like, anticipation I get from... Mm-hmm. this lottery ticket and like thinking what I'm gonna do when I win.
Yeah,
obviously I'm gonna win.
Yeah,
it's so, a fantasy. Yeah,
so I kind of feel like the same thing about this. Like I've spent $5 on things that I enjoyed less.
Yeah,
so
true.
Exactly.
I call it a win. So,
yeah, like we had our sister-in-law Jen on for a Pokemon Go episode, and she was kind of like a little ashamed, I think, to say that she had spent money or whatever, but it's like, no. And then she was like, no, she justified it because, like, I don't spend money on any other video games. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really spend a lot of money on other stuff. I can spend some money on Pokemon
Right.
Go.
Right.
And
yeah.
She's gotten a lot out of that game just from how much she's played it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
For sure. So don't feel bad if you spend money on these freemium games as long as it's in, under control and, and you don't have a problem.
It's in your budget. You're not like selling your kidneys or something
Oh my God,
like
yeah.
Try and avoid that plan.
Do you have anything else?
That was pretty much it on my history.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Nice.
But there was a lot of history about it. And so, yeah, I was definitely like, oh, this could be interesting. Like Russian programmers and like, were they like racing
if,
to.
I wonder if the guy who did, what was the name of that game?
Shiriki. Which, to be fair, my pronunciation maybe, I may be completely botching it, but that's how it's spelled as S-H-A-R-I-K-I. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
I wonder if they were friends or the Tetris guy and the Shiriki guy.
Right.
Probably not, but.
It's like, maybe it's like a Facebook like situation where they were roommates or something.
That'd be nuts. Yeah. Both creating their crazy games.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, next big movie on the. On the horizon.
Nice.
We don't have any fun facts, do we? Do you have any fun facts?
No.
Other than it's like such a crazy.
You did give some fun facts. There's 8,000 levels and they just surpassed Candy Crush. I think those are two pretty fun facts. So
I did see one fun fact from Wikipedia.
Ooh, what?
It was like this game gets over like $2 billion in revenue a year or something like
that. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah.
This is what we should be doing, creating a freemium game.
Yeah, we can match things. We can make things to match.
Yeah,
it's fine. Like we know what shapes are. It's cool.
These guys did it in like a year. How hard can it be?
Right.
Yeah.
How hard can it be? Boys do it.
Yeah. Like it's hard.
there is definitely a reason why companies are trying to move towards that freemium model.
Yeah,
as
I don't like
as much
it.
As I dislike it, but it is it can be a moneymaker just mm-hmm. because once you get that many people on board, there are bound to be some people who are going to spend mm-hmm. quite a bit of money on it.
And when you really think about all the stuff this game has going on, because it's not just the match three, mm-hmm. they have all these mini games within it and all these areas that you're building out, and I can only imagine just the amount of designers you would need for all that.
Sure. Yeah.
Not even like counting the programming behind it, just the art, mm-hmm. alone. That's a lot of people, I'm sure. So you probably need a lot of money to run it.
Yeah.
We don't have that, so that's going to be our problem. Exactly. When we build a video game. Damn it.
I need some rich people to invest in me
in our video games.
I have no idea how to make one, but I'll figure it
out.
We
can sell this. We can do this. We got this.
Shark Tank, here we go. Oh my God, Mr. Wonderful would be like, take this behind the bar. I was about to shoot it.
Like Kevin Leary would not appreciate this.
All right, let's move into the pros. Aaron, it's one of your favorite games. So what is something that you like about
I like that it gives you plenty of opportunities to win bonuses. So when you're matching, if you do it in fewer levels than your total, you might get more coins. If you don't want to buy them, you still get, you can still earn them and use them to, win lives, or you get extra power-ups that you can use like during the game. You can choose to use like the bow and arrow or the cannon, and it'll take out a row or a column if you just are like, I am stuck. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to give you any more of my money.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like they do have a lot of options for you to buy stuff, but mm-hmm. they also have a lot of options for you to earn mm-hmm. stuff randomly.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So if you don't want to spend money, I don't think you have to.
Right.
Yeah, they'll have like 7 or 8 different like mini contests or games mm-hmm. going on at the same time.
Yeah, which you can earn power-ups through and coins and whatnot.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Nikki?
I'm a fan of puzzle games in general. I love like brain teaser games and stuff like that. Like I said, Tetris is one of my all-time favorite games that you could just play at any time in your life, And these puzzle like match three games, I've always been a fan of. I played Bejeweled back in the day. I played Candy Crush, and now I'm playing this. So just in general, I'm a fan of these types of games. My brain likes them.
I agree with that. I think that in the situation I was in, it was very like dopamine friendly when I really needed some dopamine. Yeah. But also it was like, okay, I feel like I accomplished something, even mm-hmm. though all I accomplished was matching these things on my phone. It doesn't matter in the long run, but I still kind of got that like hit of serotonin of I did it.
And there's something kind of like, I don't know, meditative about just like the swiping and the connecting and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So what about you, Eric?
So it is very addictive.
That's a positive or a negative?
I just want to tell you, Aaron, this whole time, spoiler alert, Eric does not really care for this game very much. But yet, you see that he's almost on level 300,
right.
Further than me.
Right.
Because he can't quit playing it. It's like,
you get on a roll and then it's like, hey, here's infinite lives. Here's infinite this thing. Yeah. It only lasts for like 5 minutes or 15 minutes or however long. Like, use it while you can.
That was definitely that was like a positive and a negative for me. Is like, they'll give you 15 free minutes to like play through, but it's not necessarily the 15 minutes you want. You like open it up because you're stuck at the bank and you're like, and all of a sudden you have to actually go talk to somebody and you're like, okay, let me put this away, and it's like, you get 15 free minutes starting right now.
No,
it's always at an inconvenient time. Yep,
exactly. But I do like that you can like put it down and pick it up. Like, it's not something that you're like, oh, let me make sure I save it and do this, and like you can just turn off your phone and go
exactly. If you got 5 minutes, you can play. Mm-hmm. If you got 50 minutes, you can play it.
Yeah, very true.
What's something else you like about the game, Aaron?
In this game, compared to some of the other games I've played, if you get a power up, and say you get a power up where it creates a lot of little explosions for you, mm-hmm. it will actually do like the ones you would kind of intuitively do. Whereas some of the other games I've played, it'll just like do random things. Like it won't kill the I don't know, because they're not sentient things, so it's not killing them, but it won't like knock out the actual problems that you're trying to knock out. It'll just like knock out random things.
I get what you're saying with like the windy, the wind up things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the little where propeller. They will like go specifically for your target items.
Mm-hmm. Oh, instead of just random instead other of just pieces. Random. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And then the line one, when it's with the propeller, yeah, it'll mm-hmm. go usually where it's needed most and things right. like that. Usually, yeah. sometimes.
Sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes you still get to it and you're like, I have one thing left.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are definitely other games that I have played where I'm like, that's not what I would have done. Why did you do that that way? So you will give us more money for lives. That's why I did it that way. So Royal Match, then.
It doesn't intentionally try to lose.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Another good thing about this game is there is an offline mode. So, like, if you are on the airplane or somewhere where there's not internet, you can still play this game. So, that makes it good. A lot of other games like this, I feel like you do have to be online for it to work, but it's nice that it has an offline mode.
Sure. I like that it's ad-free. I mean, a lot of freemium games aren't. So
right, yeah.
That is nice. I remember playing one where it was, like, every time you beat a level, basically, it was, like, oh, here's an ad for like, you know, 5 seconds or 10 seconds or mm-hmm. then it started getting bad and it was like 20 seconds or 30 seconds. It just makes you not want to play the game anymore.
Would it be an ad for Royal Match?
Yeah, and it was usually an ad for Royal Match. And it is like some of the dumbest crap. I'm like, oh man, Royal Match has some really bad ads. I'm sorry.
It totally does. And that was one of the things when I was looking up, if you want a fun fact. That's one of the things that the game has received a lot of critique for, was that they're putting out that you're trying to like rescue the king, but you only do that once an area.
Yeah.
It's only like once every 50 to 100 levels that you're actually doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's not exactly what you thought you were signing up for.
That's true.
Yeah. It feels kind of like false advertising.
Yeah. That's true. That's a lot more interesting than just showing matches being made on that's a
true.
Grid. Yeah.
It's true.
So. Like we said earlier, I think, yeah, it's really easy to get the power-ups and stuff, so you don't have to pay for stuff if you don't want to. And then I do like all the mini games in there, although sometimes I felt a little overstimulated on the screen.
Oh, for sure.
It's, like, crowded. But, like, the lava... What is it called? The lava contest or the lava...
Lava quest.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the lava quest and things like that are kind of fun, where it's, like, they challenge you to beat so many levels without losing in mm-hmm. a row, and then you get like power-ups. Or there's Duke's Fortune, which is a legit slot machine. as if this game didn't already look like a slot machine in Vegas.
Right.
They legit have a slot machine game, mini game, and so you can like earn stuff if you don't want to pay.
I actually had that as a kind that I looked and felt like a slot machine.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's kind of like a lot of these are, they can be good and they can be bad in certain ways.
Well, I mean, yeah, what attracts people? Bright colors.
Yeah.
Bright colors.
A noise.
Yeah. I don't know about the noise. I turn all the noises off on my phone.
Same. He doesn't. So the whole time he was playing it next to me, it was like the song was on. I was like, you're so weird.
We got to hear the music.
No, we don't.
We don't.
For reviewing the game, you do. All right. Any other pros?
I do like the animations. I mean, they're kind of basic, but it is colorful and charming, you know.
Yeah.
It's enough to keep you, like, interested and
yeah, it's kind of neat. Like, when you're filling out your room or whatever, it's kind of like painting a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing the elements kind of pop up.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, what am I going to get to add next? Because, like, these rooms have stuff in them that you and I would never put in a room.
Right, but we don't have generational wealth. So,
exactly. Well, some of us don't. Some of us do. Just kidding. Do we want to move into stuff we don't like about the game?
Sure.
Eric,
how long is this going to be?
Yeah, is your list like a whole sheet of paper?
A little bit, yeah. That is the bulk of my stuff.
All right, Eric. What really grinds your gears about this game?
So, like I said, it does look and feel like a slot machine. It's like when you bet $1 in a slot machine and you hit a winning match and the slot machine like goes crazy and makes a bunch mm-hmm. of noise and it feels like you won something. And then it just turns out you won like 10 cents and that you actually lost money overall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That feeling is kind of what I get when I'm playing this game. It's like you win a bunch of stuff, But then you look at what you won, and it's like, oh, you won just 50 coins. It's like, how much is it continue? Like 900? Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you basically won nothing.
Yeah, and there's just like all these extra things that you can click on, like in the slot machines at Vegas. Like, do you want to do 5 times the power? Yes. Do you want to double or nothing? Do you want to do the royal flush
incentive
special thing? Like, yeah, all these different things. It's like, oh god, my brain is like, where do I look?
Right. No, I had actually never been to Vegas and never played any slots until back in the fall. Mm-hmm. My brother and sister and I went up to Dollywood, just kind of had like a sibling vacation.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we stopped at Cherokee on the way up because we'd never been, and we were like, let's go to Harrah's and like just check it out. So we stayed there for a couple hours playing. But yeah, it was like everything was like, it's penny slots, but it's 100 chances at a time. And it was like, that's not a penny slot. That's a dollar.
That's a dollar.
They're
slot.
So confusing, honestly. I don't like the slot machines because it's just like, it's too much for me.
It was a lot, but I won money. I was very proud of myself.
Wow, yeah. Good job.
Yeah, my mom.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah, my mom. I won like $75. I think I only spent like, because whatever, you know, they're always trying to get you in there. So mm-hmm. they gave us like $50 credit to start with.
Yeah.
So they didn't lose any money, but also money. I won money. So cool.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I feel like anytime you go in with a group, you'll have like a group of four, and like 3 out of 4 will have lost money, and the 1 out of 4th person will have won money, and they'll be like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else will be like, man, that sucked.
Yeah, I never want to do that again.
So what about you, Aaron?
I think part of it is like, there's always the chance to spend money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's frustrating.
It's very predatory in a way.
It is.
Sure.
It can be. Yeah. If you're not somebody who's like, yeah, I'm gonna limit how much I spend, or I'm not gonna spend. Yeah, it definitely can. I think it could get people into trouble, just like any other kind of gambling or anything.
Oh yeah. I wonder how many parents have gotten a bill from this game where their kids just went nuts and they don't get the concept of money, so they're just buying everything.
Right.
It specifically feels like it's targeting people with low impulse control, like someone who's younger, like a kid.
Yeah, or has like a gambling addiction or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that is like kind of caused by those random difficulty spikes. Like, mm-hmm. you'll be going along, you'll be like, oh man, this is great, I'm killing it.
Yeah,
and then you'll hit
this
level, and it's just gonna, like, it's like almost statistically impossible to beat without like employing all these different power ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it will just like eat your power ups, eat your coins, your extra lives, mm-hmm. your in-game currency, or whatever. And then, you're stuck in a situation where it's like you can't really progress without spending real money.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was definitely my biggest on for it. So like I'm glad that I have like the self-awareness to be like, okay, you spent $5 last week, you are not allowed to do this. We're gonna go do something else.
You're gonna be stuck on this level.
Yep, that's just how
that's what
is.
You get for not being smart enough
right
to get it
to match 3 colors in a row.
Yeah. So I did a lot of research, research in quotes, but I read a lot about this game on Reddit, because mm-hmm. like it's one of the few places that people talk about this game. Like, there wasn't a lot of one-off reviews. There was like a couple, but the chats for this game, like, there's a lot of comments on this.
It's like, it's interesting because the worse the internet gets, the more I find myself going to Reddit to like find what I'm actually looking for. Because somebody has said,
someone's
this
asked
is a
it.
Thing.
Yeah. But one of the things that I saw a lot of people say, and maybe you can attest to this because you're above level 500, but mm-hmm. they're like, once you get above 500, it's almost impossible not to spend money on something because it just gets so hard. And some people even almost insinuate that the game deprives you of certain power-ups until you have like that one last move left so that you'll pay to get the extra to continue. You know,
I
don't know if it's going that far.
Right. I don't know that it's necessarily going that far, but there definitely are levels that you're like, you will stay on it for a week. And then all of a sudden, the next time you play it, all of your colors line up correctly. And so all of a sudden you're beating the game that you spent a week trying to beat. And it's like,
this is sus.
Interesting.
Weird.
Yeah. So
funny how that works.
Yeah. I'm like, are they rigging it? I don't know. I mean, it's possible. If we're going to compare it to gambling and casinos, they rig their stuff all the time. So,
well, and I similarly have seen people say, like, if you can't beat a level, just put it down and walk away and come back to it later, and probably you'll be able to beat it soon after that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of video games, too. For me, I've been in boss battles where it's like, I've tried and tried, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a rest, and then I come back the next day or an hour later, and I beat the first time, and it's like, okay, you just need to chill out for a second.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to let your brain process something.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Something I wish that this game would let you do is customize the stuff you're putting in the room. Like, everything that you're decorating the room with is just predetermined. And it's like, you could at least let us pick a color or something. Right. Like, yeah, it could always be a sofa, but let us choose, like, brown, purple, green, or whatever, you know.
We could even keep it in the same color family with these, you know, royal colors, but yeah.
Exactly. Like, a little more customization would be cool.
Yeah, that way when you're watching the video of the room coming together at the end, like, it's not just a generic room. Like, you actually have some connection to it. Yeah, even if it's just some small customization or something.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because you can go back and look at the rooms. I don't know if you guys have done that.
No,
I have. Yeah, so if you go to where the book is on the, like, far left, you can go back in and you can look at it, and it says view. And if I hit it, and it's not working right now, but okay. If you hit it, everything just, like, pops up. Like, it does at the end of the thing. But yeah, like you said, if it were more customized, you might actually go back and do that every once in a while.
Yeah,
And then you could, like, compare it with, like, your friends or something.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
It would give me more of a reason to watch people's things online and stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this,
Royal
people
Match.
That make Royal Match in Turkey, I'm sure. You know, these are things we're asking for. That's about all I have. What about y'all? Y'all have any more?
I just have one more or two more. So, yeah, that user interface is kind of a mess. There's, like, I think you mentioned it earlier. There's, like, 7 or 8 icons on the screen at once.
Yeah, it's overstimulating for sure.
And it's like, okay, you have, like, notifications for this thing, notifications for that, like, all these different things keep popping up.
Yeah, it's like after you beat a level, you have to wait 30 seconds for all of the things to clear.
Right.
So that you can just play the puzzle game again.
Right. Yeah, it's a pain. It just, there's so much, so many, like, mini contests and time-based things. I don't mind, like, the extra stuff happening or having a few things, but it just feels overwhelming.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, and I feel like in the last year that I've played it, like, it's gotten worse. Like, like, there were fewer things and when I started playing it in March 2023. And they're just like, I open it up, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a lot of choices.
It must be working to make them more money then, because that's the only reason they would add more.
Of course. A big thing for me, I kind of mentioned this earlier, was like, I wish there was a way to, like, sometimes, like, bank it when they give you time. They're like, here's 15 minutes. And it's like, okay, cool, but I played this because I got to work early, and now I got to go work.
Yeah.
So I can't play this right now. If I can save it for my break, that'd be awesome, but you can't.
Yeah, that would be cool if they had that option.
Yeah, it's done intentionally. They want you to keep playing on their time.
On their terms. Have the sense of urgency, for sure.
Yeah. And my final con is, like, I don't feel like this is particularly that creative. Like, if you go and, you know, you look in the Google or iPhone store or whatever, it just littered with Match 3 games. There's so many of them. It's such a crowded market, and it just doesn't feel like they're really improving upon the formula that much. Like, I do feel like it's a slight improvement from Candy Crush, but it doesn't feel like a great leap.
Yeah,
considering it's been, like, almost 10 years since Candy Crush came out.
Yeah, it feels like the same game with, like, slightly different power-ups and a different facade.
Is there, I don't know, strategy for this game?
Yeah, actually there is.
I guess when you use the power-ups would be, like, the main piece of strategy.
Yeah, like, especially early on in a level, because usually what they'll do is they'll, like, throw in a bunch of power-ups in a really condensed space where they're not really very effective because they're going to be limited to that area.
Yeah.
So one of the first things you want to do is try to use just the ones that give you more space. Like, where the other ones can become more effective.
Right. Yeah, I've definitely done that before when it's like, they'll give you, like, 4 things, and here's something to blow them up with, and it's like, okay, cool, I would really like to be able to couple of more things, but I guess I'll do these four right now.
And then. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to create space for you to have room to work with.
You just don't want to like waste them and have them go off and not be effective, especially if they're right next to other things that are going to do the same thing and it's not going to like compound on each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And usually like the first time you play a level, they'll automatically give you some boosters without you having to do anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would wait until the second or third time that you played a level, and if you need the boosters to before you add your additional ones that you can add before the level.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, a couple times it's been like, oh, there's too many boosters, and it kind of screwed me up because I think I would have just made different choices if I didn't have, mm-hmm. like, all those in one small condensed space or whatever.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, a little bomb will explode, and you don't want it to hit certain things, and it does, and then you just wasted a power.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so. Exactly.
A major tip for me, and I apologize if this seems obvious, but you might want to make sure what the obstacle is that you're actually trying to get off the screen, because sometimes there will be obstacles that are not the things you're trying to get off the screen, but they're there, but they don't count.
Yeah, they're like a distraction.
Right. And if you don't actually like look at what you're... Not that I've ever done that, but if you don't look at what you're trying to get off the screen, you might go after the
wrong
thing.
Yeah, that's true. In the top like left hand of the screen, they'll have what you're trying to do. So if you're trying to get so many red blocks or drop birds down mm-hmm. or break certain things or clear out grass, there's all kinds of different challenges. But yeah, good point. Yep, make sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I've definitely done that before, like especially if they introduce a new thing and I just didn't pay attention. Like the first time I played one with the birds where it's like the birds are at the top and you have to clear it so they drop down to the bottom. I was just like ignoring them. and then I didn't get it and I was like, oh, yeah.
Gotta
whatever.
Gotta clear those guys.
Yeah.
So one of my pieces of advice is just to conserve the in-game money and items. You only really want to use them if you like see a pathway to win the level where it's like, okay, like I can use these specific ones to get past this.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't want to like waste a bunch and then, oh, you hit that wall where it's like now you have to pay money to get more lives or whatever, or pay in-game currency to get more lives.
Yeah, I'm bad about that. Just using my power-ups all willy-nilly. And then I'm out when I really need it. I'm like, dang, I shouldn't have used
it. That's what I say. Like, I hate it when I get to that. Like, I just have one move left and I can do it, but I don't have any moves left.
Exactly.
And I don't have 900 coins.
And I don't have 900 coins.
Also, slow down and look ahead. Like, if I... Okay, so I've got, like, a light ball it'll either take out all the things of a different color, which might be great, but I also might have a place that gets a square above me that'll put a little propeller there above the light ball, and then if I use that with the light ball, then I get lots of little propellers mm-hmm. to break things up, and that might be the better plan than to just use the light ball.
Yeah I almost exclusively use the light ball with
other power-ups
mm-hmm. it's so much more effective
But also sometimes piece of strategy, you don't want to do that too much because then you end up using all your moves trying to get that power up around your light ball. True. And then you wasted all your moves.
I've done that before as well.
Yeah, really isn't that helpful if you do that. So
sometimes you can just use the light ball because, it will kind of clear the board of one particular color. Mm-hmm. So that way you can get some of those passive matches.
Organic,
create some items.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is to join a team, and like you can do that pretty easy. There's a bunch of just pre-made ones, I guess, on there. And then if you ever do need lives, you can just request it in the chat. Can you actually say things in the chat?
I'm sure you can. I have not joined a team on this one.
Okay.
Well, I joined a team on one of the other ones I play, but...
If so, I just don't read that part. But sometimes I'll go and I'll help people. I feel like I did a good deed for the day if I go in and like help people that are asking for lives, you know.
Good call.
But yeah, that can help you get lives if you need it, if you're like in a crunch.
Yeah, and I think too that I know in one of the other games that I play, if you're on a team, there'll be like team challenges, and so sometimes you get additional time or you get additional power ups for things. So that also can help you too.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Eric?
Nope, that's all I got.
Cool.
Move on to the future.
Yeah. So, the future of Royal Match. One of the few things I found on their social media was last week they added 100 new levels.
Ooh.
So I guess they have over 8,000 probably now. But yeah, I guess they're pretty like consistent about adding new levels. So I don't really know if that's news, but I found it. So,
cool. I have found that about once an area to once every couple of weeks, they'll add a new like challenge for you. So they're always adding things.
Yeah. So did you guys know there's a sequel to Royal Match?
What?
I did not need to know this information,
Eric. Well, it might be bad news, right, Eric?
So Royal Kingdom is Dream Game's sequel to Royal Match. It was soft launched in April of 2023. The game was reset and reconfigured in April 2024, where they kind of reset everyone's user data, I think.
How mad would you be?
Very.
If they reset your data. Oh my gosh.
And now I don't even see it in the Google Play Store. Like, I tried to look for it. I could not download it. I even tried to search by the publisher.
Oh, good.
And it was not there. So I don't know. Yeah,
that's crazy. I wonder what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. I couldn't find any articles about why it wasn't there. I know there are groups out there who still are currently talking about this game. So some people still have it and are still playing it. So
do you see it in the App Store?
I do not. I have Royal Match is still there. That's telling me to update. Not surprising because I always forget to update maps. And then it's just a bunch of other Match 3 and
so,
games.
Yeah, maybe they've taken it down since. Yeah.
So it did exist, but now it doesn't anymore for most people anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like you couldn't download it.
I wonder if they're still working on it or if they're just going to move on to a whole different sequel.
Yeah, that might be trying to reconfigure it or rejigger it.
That sounds stressful. Could you imagine putting out a game and then having to tell all the players, oh, we're resetting your data? Like, oh man.
Yeah, especially if people have spent money on it, like real money.
It's for sure.
Yeah, that'd be messed up.
Yeah. Any other future stuff?
That's all I could find.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything going forward.
Yeah.
Wiki didn't have any more information for me.
Okay, so remind us what your challenge was again, Aaron.
Okay, so I didn't know how fast you guys would get through it because I didn't know how much you liked puzzle games. I was pretty sure you didn't like them at all.
I like puzzle games. I even like Match 3 games. I was a huge fan of Puzzle Quest back in the day.
No, I was just didn't think that was like your genre. So I was like, I just want you guys to like see if you can beat Area 1 and like build it out.
I think we changed it to Area 10 because Nikki beat Area 1 in like
I asked you. I sent you a message after I beat Area 1 in like 5 minutes, and I was like, do you want to change it to level 10?
Like, sure.
And you were like, yeah. So our challenge was to clear Area 10.
Yeah.
And I did it. Did you, Eric?
Yeah, I did it.
And I'm sure, what area are you on? Jeez,
So level, I am close to the end of level, hold on, I got to close
I know it's
on
like 2,000 something, but what area would that be?
Area 44, it's mini golf, because you know, the king cannot survive without a mini golf
entertainment
court in his castle.
Very important.
No, I love how they have made up, you know, just continually make up rooms. There's a movie set later.
Yeah.
There's a bowling alley, a sunroom, which seems like it would be similar to like any of the other rooms you've already done.
Yeah. One of the other things I saw on Reddit was someone questioning, was like, what is wrong with this king? It's just him in this castle all by himself. Why does he need this many rooms?
He does have a lot of rooms and gardens and like outdoor areas.
He's greedy,
and stuff.
Okay. And the game can never end. So that's the concept, and they got to stick to it.
They got to go with it. Well, maybe he's going to like let the peasants come in if like there's a world war or something like that. He's just going to be like, come to me, peasants. I have you taken care of. You are my people. Yeah, try to avoid the world.
As long as you give me your credit card number.
Right.
You
come in. Yeah. As long as you sign in on the App Store, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I reached stage 10, but I didn't really feel that great about doing it. So I'm going to wrap anyway.
I'll wrap anyway, too, because it's our season finale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wrapped, if you could call it that. A little more singing.
You're going to sing for us.
Than rapping, I think. But, you know, you don't want to hear me rap. So.
Well, we're going to hear it now.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
I'm the king of the castle, okay, maybe just a vassal. The butler Van Tassel, standing tall on Grassel. King Robert is a hassle and spending like an asshole. So now I got a tassel with the debt that's coming facile. Allow me to avow that we need your money now. Or stirrers like the Dow, it can be your new cash cow. Check out this gift like wow, you're probably asking how. It's higher than highbrow and it's themed to a luau.
Oh no, oh bless, King Robert's in a mess. He's got himself in trouble again. You slide and swipe and hope you match things right, cause the ice he's on is thin. A castle's his home, but he chooses to roam, and adventure is not his friend. To save him, you must, before the time goes bust, to earn coins for you to spend.
Yo, it's Duke's fortune. I hope you got thick skin. Let's commit more sins, and your mom has chins. Book a room at the inn, play some violin, sip on some gin. Order some din. Patience is thin. Time to give in. Throw it in the bin. You ready to grin? Like Dr. Quinn. If you wanna win, hit the button. Fate's all in the spin.
Match three or four or maybe even more. Get power-ups to blast a jam. Match reds and blues, all different sorts of hues. Link as many shapes as you can. The number of tries you try to minimize. Cross the board as you ran. As the levels go up into the game you're sucked, now you call yourself a fan.
Aaron, that was not that bad. I don't think we really had anyone sing though yet. Maybe Doug, Brittany sang a little bit.
Doug sang on his episode.
A little bit.
Well, I'd say it's singing more like a rap chorus.
That's true.
Yeah, I listened to a couple episodes, and I listened to a few of the raps, and then I was like, okay, this is what we got. Also, I only got my tune on Friday, so I didn't have as much time.
Eric.
I wasn't going to mention it, but...
Yeah, Eric forgot to send you the beat.
So I emailed later in the week, and I was like, hey, guys.
Yeah, that was my fault. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so since this is the season finale, though, we're going to take a little bit of a break, a few months probably or so.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'll be back towards the end of summer.
Yeah, maybe sometime around then. This season was a little longer than our past season, so we're due for a little bit of a break.
That's fair.
Yeah, I want to just play whatever games I want to play.
Yep, I can understand that.
Games anyone else picked for me.
Well, except for this next game that we have picked out.
except for...
But you'll have plenty of time to play it.
Okay.
So our season premiere for season 6 is going to be my older brother, Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have special guest, Austin Lidke.
Yeah. And the game he chose for us to play is Cyberpunk 2077 with Phantom Liberty DLC.
Okay, is that the one we got?
I think so.
Okay.
Our challenge is to get Songbird to the moon. Bonus points if you do it while wearing David Martinez's jacket from Edge Runners.
Okay, I don't know what I don't know what Edge Runners is. Is that a movie or something?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, I guess we'll learn.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. All right. Well, until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being on.